Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built for Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Thursday morning. If you were listening yesterday, Boomer was coming down with the flu and deteriorating minute by minute. Well, he got his Tamiflu and he decided that it was a smart idea to take a day off this morning. So Jerry is in for Boomer today. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
I'm okay. You know what? As of right now, I'm good. I feel good.
Yeah, I'm okay as well. I do believe we are in incubation station right now, though.
I know.
I believe that these flu germs are inside of our bodies and they're getting ready to ruin our weekend. That's what I'm feeling. And Boomer thought it was hilarious to cough in the background when I was talking to a caller yesterday and just out loud and just put more spittle out into the air.
Both of my daughters got like a little cough virus thing. And I feel like maybe I have a touch of that because my voice feels a little bit different, or it's all psychosomatic. And
it might be that.
And just everything's in my head. But as far as like the aches and pains and any of that stuff and, you know, a fever and all that stuff he was doing with his Navage and his coughing, like, I'm okay right now. So we'll see how it goes.
The only thing about the Tamiflu, which, because as you know, I had both strains of the flu, or strands, whatever they call it, in the winter, was if you don't, I forget what it is, 36 hours from first symptom? If you don't get it prior to that, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know that he got it in time, considering he looked terrible the day before, too.
Yeah, I know. We knew right away. Just knowing him, the way he looks, the glassy eyes, the whole thing. So, and he's fine. I mean, it's not like, you know, people thinking, oh, you know, he's the one with the flu here. I mean, you guys are worried about it. He'll be fine. He'll get through it. It's just the timing of this that sucks. Yes. You never want the flu, but it's just the timing, you know?
His birthday, for God's sakes, too.
His birthday today, and happy birthday, Boomer. You're not going to get your fudgy whale today. We had to send it back to Carvel.
Yeah.
So tough. Maybe we'll do it some other day. We're not going to do it tomorrow when Phil gets in here. Maybe we'll do it
Phil's
Monday.
Not coming in tomorrow.
Phil's coming in Monday. He called yesterday during this illness. He goes, I ain't coming in there Friday. He goes, I got to give that till Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, really smart, actually.
Yeah, because he's got comorbidity issues.
He does.
Jesus.
Many of us do at this point. I mean, I'm the youngest one here. I feel like I've got a couple comorbidity issues that I'm just hanging up every day.
We are in that age.
Yeah. It's, and your back's all effed up.
Yeah, it's been a rough stretch here.
Man, is it from all the golf?
I don't think so. I would say all day long I'm fine. I have this nocturia thing going on as I've gotten older.
Which nocturia.
Whatever it's called. So that's been part of my problem.
That's the peeing in the night.
I've been checked out. Everything's all good with the organs and everything. It's just old man stuff. The problem for me has been, I don't know if it's the mattress, maybe I need a new one. Sleeping has become a chore. The lower back pain after I sleep for about 4 hours is just miserable. Some days worse than others. And I actually had a good night's sleep last night where I slept through for almost 7.5 straight hours.
Wow.
But I woke up feeling crippled.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, that's not good.
That's the problem.
You have an old mattress?
Not really. No. 6 years? Nothing
okay.
crazy.
That's not nuts.
And also a very cool foam pad on top of it.
Hey, you should be fine. That shouldn't be the issue.
But it's not fine.
And you're a stenosis guy, right?
Yes.
So you think that's rearing its ugly head?
It's certainly possible because that's the area where the most pain comes from.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because when I'm home, I'm like, man, you know, these kids, they keep me young. When I'm here, I'm like, these old guys are dragging me down.
You're right. So all the years doing the coaching and being around my kids, I couldn't agree with you more. You're running around the field. You're staying in relatively good shape. You never stop. You're in the backyard. We're playing wiffle ball. We're playing basketball. Then you come in here and it's like diabetes man and acid reflux man. And Boomer's just older than us. And I've got stenosis. And you get reminded of it very quickly.
But, you know, I'm gout, right. You know, once every 6 months. I'm limping around like a loser. Yeah. So that's what we are, though.
Holy
you know?
Cow.
And I believe that most of our audience is not just nodding their head at every one of these ailments that we're throwing out there.
If they can nod.
Yeah, right. If they can nod. Those who don't have the neck brace on.
I will tell you. Now, I know we'll get into the sports at all at some point, but I will tell you, as someone that has, I've told the story on the podcast before, so I'm not saying anything. I think I've said it to you, too, on the show. So years back, when I had a little bit of an issue, I had to have the scope camera put in a place that no man wants to have the scope camera put into.
Oh, even worse than the colonoscopy hole? That's what you're talking about?
They knock you out for that. That's nothing. Are you kidding me? Great sleep. See, fabulous.
You told me this off the air. It actually makes me hurt.
Yes.
Like, so it's, that's how
but you know
your
what? Penile area. Yeah. And this is I think our audience are mostly men in their 40s and 50s. So this is a cautionary tale, if you will. I'm trying to help you out just to make sure everything's okay. And years back, I had to have that scope camera done.
Now you've got a penis cam.
All right. Dude.
And they don't knock you out?
No. So the way I would describe it, and as I have in the past, when I went the first time, which was about 10, 12 years ago, it's longer than that. We were in Astoria, maybe 13 or 14 years ago. They prep you on the table. Everything gets numbed. And then when I looked up, they prepped the camera, and the nurse turned around like she was Arnold Schwarzenegger holding a rifle.
Mm.
Like, what is that, and where's that going?
Yeah.
So long story short, that was a brutal experience, but my doctor tells me now it's much easier these days, so I got to go for that again.
And much easier?
Yes.
Because, how can that get easier?
Because the cameras have become much thinner, and the scopes have become much thinner.
All right.
And it's not as much of an uncomfortable, pleasant feeling. So I will be going for that again relatively soon.
You know what's unbelievable is Eddie is someone who doesn't like violence, and when he hears certain injuries, like, he will cringe. Or if we play, like, you know, Hunter Wennerstedt gets hit with a line drive last night in the Mets game.
Yeah.
You know, that video, he won't be able to look at. But when you're talking about this thing going into your urethra, he's just hitting drops and laughing
hilarious.
In there. Like that. That's the one that gets me. All this other stuff doesn't get me. And all that stuff gets him. And
this is your penis.
Right. So now he's just jiggling in there, having a great time with the urethra can. I don't understand it.
Because he's working.
Make it make sense.
Because he's working. That's why.
I guess.
The brilliance of Eddie. He's all his brain thinks about now are penis clips.
Yeah. So basically. That's what all of our brains are. We share a brain with that particular thing?
Yes.
That's
my doctor does feel like he knows what it is, but just wants to confirm it. And so that's
when
what
you
got to
do this?
Next few weeks. Oh. A man went in for surgery, and the surgery was botched, and he was left with a 1-inch penis.
Imagine waking up out of your anesthesia to find that out.
No.
Yeah, everything went well. You're going to live, but you got a 1-inch schween now.
No, I don't want that to happen.
Oh, that's got to be a lawsuit.
It's not surgery, so I'll be fine.
Okay. All right. Very good. So we are 1 week away from the draft, Jerry.
Yeah, that's a bad one. Could you imagine that?
Having a 1-inch penis?
Yeah.
I have no idea what that's like, Jerry.
Yeah. I've got double that. So don't look over here. Twice the size of that 1-inch penis. What I'm packing.
That's when 2 times 1 ain't so great.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, of course, we're 1 week away from the draft here. And not even so much the specifics of the draft, But I thought to myself, I was driving. I think I'm a little bit irritated, too, with the whole I feel like I'm going to get sick thing. So I've got that, like, irritation today. Yeah. That'll happen. And then I find out, you know, Allie moves this makeup room over there. And I'm like, this is not convenient for anybody.
It is for me.
Okay, for you.
It is for me.
And for her.
Yes.
She's like, I'm in the new makeup room. And I'm like, I got to go through a labyrinth to go find you now. You were right outside my door.
Not anymore.
For 8 years.
Yeah, not anymore.
And I'm like, for what? You can have a mirror?
And more lighting.
I mean, it's not like you're working on the swimsuit models here. It's a bunch of ugly middle-aged guys.
She has a place for her stuff down instead of just on the floor in here. And
great.
I'm all for it. I like it.
Yeah. You're all for it.
I am.
Well, she used to come to you, though, out there.
No.
It's not like...
No, I would finish the show with Al at 6 o'clock, and I would go walk back into the doldrums in the darkness.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know that.
Yes.
I didn't know you had to go back
there.
We'll
see when Boomer comes on Monday and see. Like, I ain't going back there, and then that'll be over.
Yeah, I think, you know what, though? He's going to be like, this is great, you know, stepping it up, got all this stuff out of here. Everyone, Bob Dwyer was here, looked professional. I'm proud of you guys.
He wanted
That's the take that he's going to have. But now, you know, as you know, I'm very routine-oriented in the morning when things change and... Like that morning show changed when it went from DA to Maggie and Perloff, and they were having powwows back there. But now Perloff shows up at like 5:58, so none of the powwows happen anymore.
It's music to your ears.
So it's like a little bit more quiet back there. So, but then I got used to it again, and now I got the whole makeup thing in a different spot. But I was driving in. I wasn't even thinking about Shedeur Sanders and Abdul Carter and all these conversations we had. But I was just thinking how these two teams, there is absolutely no way that they're not going to suck again next year. There's no way. There's nothing. All right, so free agency has happened.
Yeah.
The draft is going to happen. There isn't a scenario where these two teams next year are going to be any good. With talking about the draft now. Now, because even if they draft Shedeur Sanders at number 3 and he ends up eventually being a good player, he's not going to play this year.
No, not at least for half the season, for sure.
So it's just, we are...
Yes and no.
We're getting ready for a draft in a week just to set up ourselves up for another miserable season.
Yes, but there are miserable seasons, there are bad records, and there are bad records. And there are ways you can lose to where you look like a better, more competent football team. The Jets were boring to watch last year. Offensively, they couldn't do a goddamn thing, and the Giants couldn't score touchdowns. And it was a hard watch. Remember that? I mean, you sat there and you did the sidelines with me and Boomer and Phil for that Giants.
God.
The Giants couldn't move the football aside from one or two drives, and it was a bad product. Now, their schedule is going to be brutal, I believe, with the opponents they have. So I agree with you. We might be sitting here with another 6-11 football team. I don't disagree with that, and I'm sure the Jets won't be very good either in terms of record. But you can at least start to look the part and start to look like you're making strides. And maybe instead of losing games, I don't know, 27-9 with 3 kicked field goals because you can't get in the damn end zone, maybe you're losing games because Russell Wilson is hitting Malik Nabers down the sideline for touchdowns here and there, and maybe they're losing games 34-28. And it's at least an entertaining product. So I agree with you. It ain't going to be a great season for either team. But I think it can be a stepping stone to what they need to be. And that would be step one, look like an NFL team.
Yeah, but the biggest thing when it comes to a stepping stone to like going forward is having someone you believe could be your starting quarterback for many years to come. Like all of these teams that get excited about finally turning the corner that have been bad for so long, it's when they get the good quarterback. And you're not going to have that with either one of these teams at this point, at least for not in 2025, the 2025 season, because Justin Fields, like, he stinks. He cannot throw the ball. And I understand he's young, and it's better to have like a younger guy that maybe can have a little bit of potential. And you think, like, oh, he'll wake up like Sam Darnold. But I mean, Sam Darnold could throw the ball. Justin Fields can't throw the ball. I mean, he got benched at 4-2.
He did.
Because of the way that he looked at the position. So that's going to get even worse offensively. They won't draft a quarterback this year, which I don't even know if they should or not.
I don't know that. Until we get to the end of next weekend, and forget Saturday and Sunday, really Thursday and Friday, at least for me. Yeah, sure, you can find a Brock Purdy from time to time, like once in a lifetime. But most of the good quarterbacks come in the first couple of rounds. I know there are some outliers for sure, but most of them are in the first two rounds. Let's see where we're sitting next Friday night. Because, you know, so much conversation has gone into the Giants with the quarterback. I don't think enough conversation has gone into the Jets needing a quarterback. And I do think that there's scenarios where the Jets could end up with a guy that potentially could be the starter midseason.
Yeah, and you know, this whole Aaron Glenn, Darren Mooji, this new type of philosophy that they have, and I don't even know if Woody Johnson is saying this after all the Aaron Rodgers hype that ended up blowing up in his face, but you know, this is the way we like it. No one's talking about us. We're in the shadows and we're working. Like, that sounds great if you come out of that thing and you end up winning, and then you could look back and say, hey, remember when it wasn't about hype? We were just, you know, compiling great players, and now look, we're a playoff team. But if you don't, it's even worse, because at some point when Aaron Rodgers was coming here, you know, most of the fan base was excited.
Mm-hmm.
And you had season ticket sales, jersey sales. They were happy for at least a few moments. And that type of excitement around an organization, you know, helps the business of the organization. Now, of course, it didn't work out, and that sucks, and it makes the fans feel even worse. But just for a little bit of time, there was some energy and some juice around the team. Now you've got these guys. You don't even know what the hell they're doing.
Right.
No one's talking about them. None of them have ever had these jobs before in their life. And so you better come out, and this team better look like a bunch of ass whoopers, even if you're losing games, because all this crap you're talking about, the type of team that you're going to be, because no one's excited about it. You've got two guys here. You know, there's different levels of fans that we have here at WFAN. There's certain guys that are just as nutso as they were when they were 13 years old. You know, a guy like Evan Roberts, a guy like Mike Fliegelman, a guy like Pete Hoffman. Those are guys I'm going to throw in there. Both Pete Hoffman and Mike Fliegelman, independently of one another, have decided they're not rooting for the Jets this
year.
I've
heard, yes.
And I believe them.
I do too.
Like, these guys aren't like goofy radio bit guys. They're just sports guys who want to work here.
Yep.
Neither one of them want to root for their team anymore.
Let me ask you this. We're sitting here next Friday night, next Thursday night. Let's say Shador Sanders falls to 7, the Jets take him. Is there now not an excitement around that team?
Yeah, there is, but they're not going to take him. I am fully convinced that they're not going to take Shador Sanders.
This is what I don't understand. Why?
Here's why. Because, one, they're just, no matter who walks in that building, they're all idiots. All right? And number two, what I just said, where we're doing everything in the shadows. We're over here. We're concocting our plan behind closed doors. Now they're going to bring in the most controversial, for whatever goddamn reason, Shador Sanders, who I don't even think is that controversial. They're going to bring in that guy? No, Woody Johnson's probably thinking, I just went through a circus with Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to start another one with Shador Sanders, even though that's a stupid way of looking at
it. It's a stupid way to look at it.
But that's the way they're going to look at it.
Because it's not, I understand the whole business of doing things stealthily, which is a big word we've heard this offseason, and they've been quiet, and they're going about their business. Drafting an exciting player in the first round of the draft is not opposite of that philosophy. It's drafting an exciting player in the first round of the draft.
I mean, they're going to draft an offensive lineman whose name we won't be able to pronounce for the first couple of weeks. That's what it's going to be. Like, that's that guy, Membo, right? Membo,
I believe.
Membo.
I believe so. And I understand if you're building a football team, building inside out is not a bad strategy. What I'm saying is, off your conversation about Justin Fields and the Jets not really having a quarterback right now. Now, the Giants do, from the standpoint of, if you need a quarterback this season, they do have an upgrade from last year. I mean, whether you like Russell Wilson or not, he's better than Daniel Jones. He's better than anything else they really had. And he plays the games. He doesn't get hurt all that much. He'll be out there every week if you need him. And I do think they'll score points. That's going to be great. The other thing about the Jets, too, gee, you talk about, you know, at least with the Giants, they have to deal with the Eagles and the Commanders 4 times. And yeah. I know they've owned Washington in the past, but not last year, not with Jaden Daniels. So those are 4 games. The Cowboys always give them trouble. So inside their own division is going to be difficult, let alone their out-of-conference or out-of-division schedule. The Jets are dealing with, in the AFC East, if they can find any competency from the quarterback position and play relatively well, you're dealing with the Dolphins, who right now are a mess with the whole Tyreek Hill stuff. They're looking to trade Jalen Ramsey, and Tua can't stay healthy. Who knows what they are? And Mike McDaniel's on the hot seat. You've got the Patriots, who, I don't know, are they going to be anything this year? I don't think so, but
no,
who knows?
Probably another year away.
So if you're a Jet fan, if you got, and I agree with you, they'll probably take an offensive lineman, but if you ended up with someone that you believe can be the quarterback of the future for this team in a division that is not like the NFC East, I think there's hope for the Jets. Quietly or not, I think there's hope for the Jets.
I hope that they could potentially make the playoffs.
Behalf, How about just be a good football team, and we'll see where that lends us in December. Does that mean the playoffs? I don't know. Sometimes you can go 10-7 and not make the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that Robert Saleh got crushed or didn't get crushed for enough was early on in his career, and this would rear its ugly head later in his career too, he looked completely overmatched by other coaches.
Agreed.
In the first half of games. Like, it's like the other coach knew exactly how to exploit the Jets, and he had no idea how to combat that, and the team just wasn't prepared. And a lot of that is because he was a first-time head coach. So, like, I'm expecting a lot of that from Aaron Glenn as well.
God, I hope not.
I mean, that's what I'm expecting, because it takes some time. So, Jets got some players. They got some players. Okay, they got some players from a general manager that the owner started taking away responsibility from and then fired. And also, these guys haven't been the same since their rookie year. Like Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson. Are those guys really that good? Is the Jets defense stocked with talent? We sat here all last year and talked about how overrated they were.
Yeah, because there were certainly some games, even though the offense wasn't doing enough, I shouldn't say that. They weren't doing a lot. They were doing enough to put them in position to win games, and the defense didn't get stops.
I mean, it's just insane. Like, and you know, if you talk to anybody in any other football market and you ask their opinion of the Jets and Giants making the playoffs, they'll laugh in your face. But we sit here because we, you know, dissect every single position in and out, try to find a way to make them look relevant, or maybe they could win, but it's just they're neither one of them are going to be any good.
See, I don't have that. I don't have that expectation. My expectation of this, of both of these teams, is to look like NFL teams this year. That's my expectation, and hopefully, this is part one of a. I don't know if rebuild is the right way, but they're way back to relevancy in the league. Because I'm with you. I don't want to sit here in September and have the Jets and the Giants be a combined 1-7, and struggle to score and be boring doing it as well.
I mean, just think about if they don't draft a quarterback, the Giants, and, you know, that could be somewhere later. Like I said, I really like the idea of sitting Jalen Milroe and really working with him and then seeing what he has maybe, you know, a year later. But that would be exciting, the way he plays football. But if they don't draft a quarterback, and it's Russell Wilson, who's old and deteriorated through the course of the season last year, Jameis Winston, who is basically a walking meme at this point, and Tommy DeVito, who is, you know, a fan favorite, but he's still Tommy DeVito, and him actually winning games cost them Jaden Daniels, which is crazy. But anyway, those are the three guys you have, and you're 1-7.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about that.
I don't see
zero future.
I don't see any scenario they don't draft a quarterback.
My God.
In the first two rounds. Because I don't want to hear about, I love when people are like, they're going to find their quarterback. It might come in the third or fourth round. Yeah, you know how many quarterbacks get drafted in third and fourth round that don't have an NFL career because they're not NFL good?
Yeah, I don't like that. So that's exactly. And I've said this, we talked about this last week when Boomer was out. I don't like the idea of, if you don't think that the top two guys are your franchise quarterback, or the quarterback of the future, but then you draft one at 31 and right. Trade back. What's the same goddamn thing? You want that guy to be, those guys aren't good enough to be your future to draft him at three, but this guy is?
Right.
Because you draft him in the first round, or top of the second round, you expect him to start at some point.
You would certainly think so.
But that's why the only guy that I would get excited about, just because from a talent standpoint, it's undeniable, is Milroe. That's it. And I'm not saying that he's gonna work out. He could be very much like Anthony Richardson, but Anthony Richardson was thrown into the fire immediately. And that cannot happen with Milroe, no matter wherever.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Boomer out sick. That means we've got CeeLo over in the update chair. What's up, Chris? Good morning.
Good morning.
Hiccuping.
Again?
Huh?
It's still going?
It's going to go throughout the course of the It's random.
I thought you guys settled it in the warm-up
show.
No,
we didn't settle it. That's what I was explaining to you. This is going on the second day now. Just, I don't know what happened. I had normal day Tuesday, and all of a sudden I've got these hiccups that pop up, a little acid reflux situation, and it comes and goes.
Wow. Yeah, when you're on the air and you have the hiccups and they're not going away, yeah, it's one of the worst feelings ever, because it's all you're thinking about. You can't concentrate on the next thing you're saying because it's going to pop up, your mic's on.
Yeah.
It sucks.
But this is not like a, you know, just a bout that's going to like come and go away. Like, hey, I had whatever. Someone's going to scare me. I'll drink some water. I'll be fine. Like, this has been going on for almost 48 hours now.
Oh.
And so, I'll be fine for, like, I did the first half hour with Al, no problem. Then all of a sudden, clicked in.
You've had the hiccups for 48 hours?
Again, I think that was comes me. And goes.
That, so
and
that goes. Hiccup you heard there was me when I came in and I was recording spots before the show and I started hiccuping and then I couldn't get it out. Like, I started the show with it.
Yeah.
And then you're just freaking out because you hear stories about people who have hiccups for like months straight.
Well, that could be where I'm headed. So I got some tips from people in the mentions. So eat a banana, put some sugar on your tongue, improve your diet and your exercise.
I was saying, what if you sprinted?
Okay.
I'm sorry. You read the right now. Once by mistake.
Right.
But no, like if
no,
you.
No, that was my mistake.
Is that on purpose?
Boomer and Carton had Al and I race on opposite sides of the newsroom.
Right.
And it wasn't a mistake. Like, they told me to race and sprint, so I did, and I crashed into the wall and damaged it.
Because I haven't heard a hiccup yet. Not a traditional hiccup situation.
No, it's not.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not in my head, and I feel it coming. It's just random. It's going to, at some point, I'll be talking this morning, and it's going to pop. It's going to pop in.
Mm.
It happened in the second half of the warm-up show. And then all of a sudden, there was like six of them in 30 seconds.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, it is.
Really strange.
And my stomach's fine. I'm eating fine, but I just feel it all in the the chest, the esophagus area.
Did you eat something that gives you the heartburn recently?
Not that it wasn't anything that abnormal. The only thing, thinking back to Tuesday when I was working elsewhere, was my wife had bought one of these like...
bologna logs?
No, not a bologna log. I wasn't stuffing a bologna log in my mouth. No, she bought one of these like pre-made chicken burritos with rice and beans, but nothing out of the ordinary.
Yeah, that's
and it wasn't like I ate that and all of a sudden it happened.
Yeah.
It was like hours went by and then all of a sudden they arrived and they haven't quite gone away.
Well, good luck.
Yeah. Thank you.
Let's see if we can get through this first update. Okay. Hiccup free. Yeah. What's going on?
It's brought to you by Roto-Rooter, America's neighborhood plumber. So Aaron Judge has been swinging a hot bat since the start of the season pretty much, but hadn't done this in 10 games until last night.
The 1-0. The pitch swung on high, fly ball. Right center field. Got some carry. It's going back. And there it goes. A home run. First one in a while. It's another home run for Aaron Judge, and the Yankees have retaken a lead. It's 4-3 New York.
Now, I checked. There was no now on that one.
Yeah,
I went back on the logs.
Three of the four he didn't do yesterday either, days ago.
And he's phasing it out.
Okay.
Well, he did the hay now for the catch.
That is true. You know what? That eliminates
my
theory.
He picks his spots, I guess, if he really feels it. I mean, that was kind of it was a big moment.
I would say that would have been a big
hit. Hey now! Seventh, yes. The solo shot there of John Schreiber, and it did hold up as the difference. Yanks went on to edge the Royals 4-3, completing the three-game sweep of Kansas City. That was the final pitch Schreiber threw. KC went to the bullpen and called on Daniel Lynch the fourth, and then as he was getting ready to deliver his first pitch.
Man out of Richmond, Virginia. University of Virginia product, 6'6", 200.
And he doesn't just have Lynch on the back of his jersey. He has Lynch and four in Roman numerals.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he hit jazz.
I don't know. I just kind of like he's like, oh, yeah. First pitch, bang. Chisholm gets hit there. But he turned out to be just fine. I think it was a slider, so no damage done. Meantime, no Devin Williams or Luke Weaver available for this one as they had both pitched in the first two games of the series. So Aaron Boone rolled with Fernando Cruz for the final six outs, and he recorded his first career big league save, escaping some traffic in the ninth as Cody Bellinger made a lunging, sliding catch in right field to end it. The 35-year-old Cruz acquired this offseason from the Reds for Jose Trevino. He grew up a Yanks fan, so he's been loving every second of this, and in this case, happy to step up with other relievers unavailable.
The most important thing for me was that the bullpen got the day to rest. I pick up, them out, and that's the most important thing for me. We won the game, and it was amazing.
Now, it good was a him. Cool catch and end of the game. He put his arms, like, you would have thought they like won the World Series.
Well, knowing the story that, you know, the whole thing of being from here and being a Yankee fan. Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of the guys were saying he's a very great teammate, easy to root for, considering his journey and all that. So as for Judge, 3-for-3 with the home run and a double. He's now hitting .409 with seven long balls, third Yankee to have those marks through 18 games, joining Mickey Mantle and Alex Rodriguez. Certainly good company there. Here was Bellinger on Judge as he joined Susan as her star of the game after securing that final out.
Yeah, well, captain's going to captain, man. I mean, best player on this planet, so and he strives to be great, and it's just a pleasure watching him.
Do you notice on the home run, some of the home runs he hits to the opposite field on the, you know, the regular camera from behind the pitcher, it looks like off the bat it's going to dead center field,
and then it ends up drifting right,
like the right field bleachers,
like
essentially.
It's a cut shot almost.
And there must be a lot of spin on that ball, but obviously it travels a long way. Somewhat lost in last night's win, the return of Clark Schmidt, who was efficient. He worked into the sixth on a limited pitch count, 5 2/3, 4 hits, 3 runs, couple of walks, 2 strikeouts across 73 pitches.
Yeah, it felt great. Just be back with the guys competing again and, being in this environment, being in front of the fans again and back in Yankee Stadium, what more can you ask for? So very thankful, very blessed to just be able to go out there again and, grateful for it.
Certainly could be a big boost for their rotation moving forward. Yanks hit the road for the next 7, including 4 against the Rays. We'll get a look at them at
Steinbrenner Field.
Field tonight as the visitors, as that series begins this evening.
Interesting how many, there are always more Yankee fans, I think, in Tampa when they go play them anyway.
I would think so.
I mean, at the Trop usually. Yeah, yeah. I wonder if there'd be any Rays fans there tonight. I know they bought season tickets. I get that.
Yeah.
But
heavy,
I don't know.
Yankee.
Right. I mean, there's always going to be, there'll be a couple
a
of
there'll
the,
be some,
the
but it's going to be Yankee
and,
dominated,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm of course it will be.
So they had like less than 8,000 people in Miami for
the
Marlins last night.
Still during the spring break for a lot of folks from New York go down to the Florida area, mm-hmm. much like Chris McMonagle, who was begging for suite tickets.
Did he get them?
I don't think so, no.
Begging for suite tickets at the Steinbrenner Field?
Yeah, because he said he was going down there, and he said nobody on WFAN has defended Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone as much as him, so he thinks he deserves suite tickets to one of the games when he was going down there.
But aren't the Rays in charge now, since it's their home field?
I'm sure that the Yankees at their spring training stadium
could
have something for him.
All right.
You know, so I don't know if it worked out for him or not, but we will find out when he gets back. Leslie's in New Jersey, has something for CeeLo. What's going on, Leslie?
Hi, Gil. Hi, Jerry. Hi, CeeLo.
Hi, Leslie.
I'm a big fan of the show.
Thank you.
Good morning. I have a cure for CeeLo's hiccups. It's from my great-grandmother, and she would put a spoon in her mouth or a fork, hold it with your teeth, and drink a glass of water.
With the spoon in your, like, held against your teeth?
Isn't that called choking?
No, in between your teeth. Hold a spoon in between your teeth and drink a glass of water.
I mean, do you have to wear a poncho?
Well, do it over a sink, of course.
But if I'm holding the spoon in between my teeth, then my teeth are close. So how's the water getting in then?
Water can find the tiny
hole. Exactly how it works.
Okay.
It works that way. It's an old family cure for hiccups.
All right. I'll have to give that
a try.
Yeah, sure.
It works.
We can have Izzo film that during the break.
All right, Leslie.
I thought she was going to come on and tell me to try some snake sperm.
No, that's if you have a throat issues.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Some of this is related to the throat, so. You guys covered a lot of territory yesterday.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I was catching up on the ride in. Almost a couple accidents from laughing so hard. It was fun.
Yeah. I know Big Hurls was outside of the studio when the show ended, and he was laughing at a bunch of stuff. And, like, he was like, oh, that was funny. That was funny. I was like, none of this is funny.
Well,
Boomer's got the flu. I'm going to get the flu. Yeah. I'm happy that everybody's laughing, but none of this is funny.
It won't be on Saturday when the two of us are hacking up along.
Right, exactly.
Oh, great. So I'll be on my own then in Hazlitt from 4 o'clock on Saturday for our guest bartending.
1 to 4 Pool Ave Bar and Grill. Yes.
Yeah, come on out. There you go.
Uh-huh.
Any event, Will Warren and Taj Bradley tonight, Yankees Rays pregame coverage on The Fan and the Free Odyssey app begins at 6:25. Mets and Twins played a day rubber game in Minnesota. It was 3-0 Twins until the Mets finally broke through with a 3-run eighth to tie things up. That included RBI doubles from Pete Alonso and Jesse Winker. So the game goes to extras, bottom 10 with the speedy Byron Buxton as the designated runner at second base to begin that inning.
1-1. Swung on, hit towards center field. Taylor coming, and he plays it on a hop. It goes past him into shallow right center field. Buxton around third. He will score without a throw. It's a walk-off single for Ty France in the bottom of the 10th inning, and the Twins bounce back and take the finale.
That's Pat McCarthy, Mets Odyssey Radio, 4-3. The final in 10 as Minnesota won the series. Some more struggles for Carlos Mendoza's squad with runners in scoring position. They were 3-for-12 in this one and left 9 aboard.
It happens, man. It's not easy to hit in this league, you know. And I'm going to continue to take my chances, you know. As long as we are creating traffic, you know, they will come.
Not the Soto at bat was a killer in the fifth. I mean, they're struggling to score.
But that double play
was just a killer.
Sure was. Absolutely. The bright spot was the debut of Justin Hagenman?
Yeah.
He got the call
from Voorhees, I believe.
Okay. Very
cool.
Some
tears up there.
Yeah.
And the stands from his family.
That's good stuff.
And fiance, I guess, maybe.
3 1/3, 1 run, 4 Ks after they went with Brazaban as the opener. Griffin Canning, I guess, is feeling better because he's scheduled to start tonight's home game against the Cardinals as they come in for what will be a 4-game set. First pitch, 7:10 on Odyssey Mets Radio. And I'm out of time already.
All right. We'll see you next hour, CeeLo.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit dollarshaveclub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So an unfortunate situation last night in the Mets game when Hunter Wendelstadt takes a line drive off the head. And, you know, it's interesting because in the beginning of the season, Gary, Keith, and Ron were talking about the umpire's positioning this year and how it has changed. And they didn't like it at all. They said it was in a dangerous area. And they brought up the same thing that Gary Cohen brought up last night about wearing a helmet. It was like, well, if he's going to stand right there, what's the difference between the position coach and the umpire?
Yeah.
And the position coach has to wear a helmet. So why is the umpire not doing that? So, and of course, he doesn't have a helmet on, just a regular hat.
And it's an older man, not great reflexes like, a 25-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, this to me is not one of those overreaction things where, oh, now all the umpires have to wear a helmet because of one thing. The reason why the first base coaches started wearing helmets is because somebody died at some level. I don't know if it was college or minor leagues or something. It was an umpire who a first base coach who ended up taking it in the temple from a line drive like this and then passed away.
And look at where this hits him. This is the view here on TV. Side of the head, very close to the temple.
God.
I mean, you're talking about literally centimeters or an inch away from possibly dying on the field yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that's not an exaggeration.
No, it's not.
And it's funny. So, Al, you had never heard of Hunter Wendelstadt. I was listening to the warm-up show today.
Really?
Yeah, I thought with all the stuff that Al doesn't know about sports, I thought at some point he would have heard of Hunter Wendelstadt.
No, never heard of this fella.
Wow. I mean, that's one of the guys that you would like.
Been around a
like,
long time.
Yeah. If you're like, name an umpire, like you'd get to Hunter Wendelstadt. Like Joe West. You know, Angel Hernandez, who I think both are
or
done.
At least when you hear the name, it's familiar.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, Hunter Wendelstadt.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so this was a rough one. I know you talk about all the time, too, with the pitchers and the line drives. Yeah. So,
and I do. Every time I bring it up, and I trust me, I'm aware social media is a cesspool. I get that. But I get destroyed by baseball guys when I say put a helmet on the pitchers. Or I'm not saying put a helmet, but there's got to be something to protect the skull for a pitcher. That's all. I don't know. Not the goofy thing that the Met guy wore years ago. But,
yeah,
you know, because at some point, like you talk about, a base coach dying on the field, at some point it's going to happen. I mean, you know, for everybody that wants to criticize my take on that, you know, I went and looked. You know, they weren't required to wear batting helmets until 1971 either. Were you meatheads on that one too?
I'm sure they. Yeah, I'm sure there were.
Right? So you're just trying to protect something that's an unnecessary injury or possible death. And for the umpires, if the base coaches have to wear them, I don't know why at least the first and third base umpires wouldn't have to.
Yeah, I mean, and they're just in they're positioned differently this year.
Yeah.
They're in different areas, and it's just.
Why are we showing? Did Boomer take one?
Did Boomer get hit here? Oh, okay, there we go. Yeah, he caught it, though.
Most.
Reflexes like a cat.
Look at Booms.
Yeah, there was Vicky and Mastalone and the whole team. Look at that. Whoa.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, so he's, yeah. But that's, you know, that's a professional athlete there. That's not a guy who's, you know, just standing there like Hunter Wendelstad is not expecting the line drive to come at his head.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I think that any sort of protection in that situation is fine. You know, and it's also not going to affect the game. Like that,
at all.
That's the thing, too. I think that they've taken the kickoff thing way too far in the NFL because it's affected the game. And it doesn't seem like there's the data to back it up about the player safety thing. Like everybody who talks about that's like, you know, the injuries really weren't happening as much as people thought they were on the kickoffs. And that dramatically changed the game.
Yeah.
Slapping a hard hat on a pitcher or an umpire's not changing the game at all.
No, not at all. And for him, you know, the other part of that too, when I was listening to Keith, you know, he was even like, oof, when he was watching the replay, almost seemed like, because at one point he said, you know, he's not even moving on the field. And Gary pointed out that his leg was kind of kicking up and down at first. You know, I think back to when Keith played and he would take the bunt away and he would literally be 30 feet away from the batter who at the major league level can take the bat back and swing away. And you want to talk about taking your life in your hands. No one knew it better than him. And for him, I know he's older now at this point, but for him to see that and have that reaction, I mean, that's coming from a guy who has stared at it right in the face from really close in.
Yeah, I was just reminded of John Olerud. I was thinking about John Olerud wearing the helmet.
Yeah.
And that phenomenal story. And we told it not that long ago when Ricky Henderson passed away. But when Ricky Henderson showed up at a clubhouse and John Olerud was in there, and Ricky Henderson goes, oh, man, you know, I played with a guy in the Mets who used to wear a helmet and play first base. And then John Olerud said, yeah, Ricky, that was me.
That's just the greatest. And John Olerud was a damn good player. And for him to not even realize that is hilarious.
Right.
That's not like some kid that came up and had his shot in the majors for 3 months and they never heard from him again.
And he was the only guy to do it. That was the other thing.
Ricky being Ricky.
Yeah.
Yep.
I used to play with a guy that did that.
Yeah, hi, Rick.
Hello, it's me.
Funny.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I'd love to be that blissfully ignorant.
Yeah.
You know?
Ignorance can sometimes be a good thing, as we know.
But he seemed to have a very happy life there, Ricky Henderson.
Mm.
And a lot of great stories.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.